Thanks for clicking on our podcast. This is John Fraser, and with my partner in wine down in the Cape, Michael Olifier, each week we taste the very best that the Cape has to offer in wines or spirits, whatever tickles our fancy, and hopefully it'll tickle yours as well. Welcome back to Divine Intervention, and welcome back to a first on Divine Intervention. We've tried whiskey, we've tried brandy, we've tried bubbly, we've tried whites, we've tried reds. We have never yet tried a beer, and today we are heading down to the brewery for our tasting. But before I introduce the beer, I have, of course, to introduce our food and wine guru, Michael Olifier, who is the recipient of the Lifetime Achievement Award from the Eat Out People for having spent a lifetime doing good things and serving good things to many happy customers. I remember all too well my far too many late nights in his restaurant parks in Constantia or on the fringe of Constantia. Was it Weinberg, Michael?
It was on Weinberg Hill, but you know, Constantia was sort of a larny thing to say.
That was the appellation.
Yes.
Okay. Well, Michael, great to chat to you again. Thanks a lot for finding something unusual for us to taste. I'm sure it's not unusual for South Africans to drink beer, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And with me in the studio, it's a hat trick. 3 weeks in a row, we have managed to pin down, kidnap, and abduct the same pair of ladies. They really must be a little more careful about their personal security. With me in the Joburg studio, once again, the owner-manager of the Wine Concepts, I'll call it a bottle store, although it's more of a boutique, at the Blueberg Centre, Cullen Morris. Cullen, great to chat to you again.
Thank you for having me again.
Well, it's always nice, and we'll have to do this more often. And with us as well in the studio, we have Benedict Dube, journalist, broadcaster, and good mate. Benedicta, great to have you back again.
It's always great to be here, John.
I hope you're not too upset that we invited you for a wine tasting and we've given you beer.
I can live with it.
Okay, well, I suppose having introduced everyone under the sun, it's time to introduce the beer, Michael. Now, I gave you a cue there, didn't I?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, look, this is a beer called Sunday. It's from Brewers and Union, which is a Cape Town based company, but the beer in fact comes from Germany. It's just really the first time that I became aware of good beer in small quantities, and something really different was when I tasted the beers from Brewers and Union. I went in there one day with Badley, and we were having a sort of snacky lunch, and Simon came up and said, "You've got to try these beers." And really, this one is a fairly new release of theirs. It's an Indian pale ale. It's, I think, quite elegantly packaged, sort of startlingly orange. And I like the way the foil top runs down the top, down the bottle itself. When you pour it into the glass, it's got this lovely sort of pale amber shade with this snow white head. And then the aroma, to me, is just one of my all-time favorites. It's sort of spicy, clementine, nachi, and sort of floral stuff going on there. And then the taste has got this sort of gentle bitterness, and again that sort of clementine flavor coming through, and you get the malt there as well, and you get this sort of element of spun sugar there, which I quite like. It's a sort of beer that I like drinking with cured smoked pork, sort of charcuterie type dishes.
So it's not an everyday beer.
It's not an everyday beer. I mean, you don't have to drink it only on Sundays, of course. But it's a really, I think, great with food kind of beer.
Okay, well, I got a disapproving look, Michael, from Cordelia Morris when I suggested this wasn't an everyday beer. So explain to us why it isn't, and whether it's worth having a sip of.
Well, I'd say that, let me start this way. This is what we would call a craft beer, and the craft beer market in South Africa has increased drastically over the past few years, so much so that we have a separate fridge for beers alone, and then we're not filling it up with SAB, we're filling it up with these kind of things. And this is unique in that it's South African guys who run the business, and they bring the beers in from unique craft beer producers in Germany. then they put their own label on it and market it here in South Africa. I'm not sure if they market it elsewhere in the world, but you know, there's serious competition for our local craft beer market. And we've seen a huge increase. And you know, IPAs is quite unique. It's got a unique style, and I really love them for the fact that you know, they're not just a typical bitter ale. They have some serious character, and we find that there's quite a big change in the market where people drink these beers every day. This is replacing. It's about double the price of you know, a SAB kind of beer. But, you know, it's double the size kind of as well. So it's worth it. It's worth it.
Well, you mentioned serious characters, and we've got one with us in the studio. Benedicta Dube, are you enjoying this?
John, I'm not a beer drinker. And the last time I had beer was 2 years ago at a restaurant at the waterfront in Cape Town. It was Bavarian beer. And finally, I enjoyed it, but I've never had beer again ever since. But I'm quite enjoying this. I doubt, though, if it's... a beer to be had at a soccer or a rugby match. I think it's too elegant, it's too beautiful. And it's a kind of beer that a woman would have. You know, generally women think that, you know, you can't have beer, or it's just not classy for a woman to have beer. But this is a kind of beer that I would have. I mean, the alcohol content is also not so bad. It's 5.5%, which is relatively okay.
And Benedicta, one has this totally out of date, and hopefully it's going to change a lot, concept that black people drink beer in shebeens and white people drink wine over dinner tables. That is evolving, isn't it?
It is evolving quite a lot, and I think Colleen would probably agree with me that you would find that the premium beers are selling more, and that black people are coming more into the party in terms of buying premium beer. I mean, I find that a lot of my friends are more into your premium beers on a dinner kind of table instead of your normal kind of SAV beers, which I find quite interesting. You know, it's a class issue, but also I think it's a conscious psychological issue of changing mindset as well.
Well, that obviously we have an expert in the alcohol retail business, because that's her business. Colleen, any observations on black and white, red and white, bubbly and beer, all of that stuff?
Habits.
I don't know. I'm quite colorblind when it comes to these things. As long as it's pink or white or red, I don't mind, really. But, yeah, you know, I think craft beer, and this is one of them, has really bridged a rather large gap between the beer drinker and the wine drinker. And that's really, for us in the industry, it's a really lovely sight. These beers have character, they have flavor, we can smell things. It's not just a bottle full of yeasty gas. And that's what's really lovely. And you see, and it's really lovely for me to see, on a lot of restaurants have now, they've got their wine list, and then they've got their craft beer list, and then there's sort of the rest as well. And they put a lot of thought into it, because and I think the main reason is because it's available, number one, and number two, because people are consuming it, people want it, and that's really great for us, because that shows people are shifting away from just drinking a bottle of beer to drinking something that's got flavor and character, which means they're on their way possibly to the wine side.
Yeah.
Michael, I think people are after pleasure, to be quite honest. I think they're after taste. And that after pleasure. It's moved away from just drinking for the sake of drinking beer. I think it's moved to taste and quality.
Okay, Michael Olafier, the usual question, because we tend on these podcast recordings to look not just at what we're drinking, but what we might pair it with over a pleasant meal. And obviously we've chatted time after time about pairing various wines with various food. There's no reason why you have to serve wine if you're serving alcohol at a dinner or a lunch, particularly if you're serving a nicely chilled beer on a warm day. Any ideas about pairing this particular one with any food or wine?
Yeah, look, John, I think as Colleen was saying, you know, here you've got something that's got a bit of character, and so I thought that really this was. This was a beer that you served with charcuterie, with sort of very thinly sliced Spanish, sort of Iberico ham, salamis, that kind of that kind of thing. And then maybe if you got into cheese, I think you wanting more a sort of a soft cheese that is not sort of a soft ripened like a camembert, for argument's sake, because I think you'd have a conflict there. But I think you want a soft cheese like maybe a buffalo mozzarella or a nice creamy goat's cheese, I think would go really well with it. But it's also the sort of beer you could drink when you're standing around the briar waiting for that piece of sausage to come off.
And of course, Michael, as you know, I was given a 20-year sentence and served almost all of it in Belgium. And there you have the Abbey beers, and they also have the Abbey cheeses. And quite often in that country, you can pair, for instance, a Maritsu beer with the cheese from the same monastery, and both are delicious and complement one another really, really well. I'm very impressed that you're eating Spanish ham these days. You've obviously had more pay rises this year than I have. It's not cheap, but I have noticed it in Chequers at a not too awful price. So let's hope that some of the great gourmet products of the world continue to arrive on our shelves. But just on that subject, Colleen, I have noticed, certainly in the last decade or so, the way in which not only does the Cape and various agricultural regions of South Africa produce absolutely stunning stuff to drink, our cheeses are really, really good now. I remember the days when you would find a fake Parmesan that tasted nothing like Parmesan or a cheddar that was really pretty awful. These days we get craft cheeses out of the winelands and in the sort of quantities, which mean that even in Gauteng supermarkets you can shop and find these delicacies.
I think it comes down to the past 20 years, if I can be a politician, but people have travelled maybe a little bit more and trade has opened a little bit more and we are exposed to more and people are getting used to different flavours. 20 years ago we didn't even know what was out there. And then suddenly all the young people started going overseas for their gap year and come back and tell mum and dad about the lovely stuff they've had. And you know, so it grows. I think we've come a long way. And yes, our minds and our doors have opened to new flavours and flavours of the world. And that's just great. That's just great.
So, Benedicta, abolish apartheid and we all get fat.
I think great exposure is always good, John. And I think...
Except down the park after dark, yes.
Well, if we could stay away from that. But I think, yeah, you know, I agree with Colleen. I think the past 20 years have been wonderful in terms of how they've broadened our horizons and how we've been able to choose in terms of what we want and what we need. 20 years ago, you couldn't choose. You had what you had. Now we have an opportunity to say, I can accept this, I can't accept that. And I think that's absolutely great. And I think it's going to get better in years to come.
Michael?
Yeah. I think we mustn't underestimate what food television has done to our tastes and our searchings for different tastes.
On that point, Michael, we loved watching you on those rare mornings when we weren't at the gym on that SABC Espresso program. I do hope that we'll see you on our screens again soon.
I've got some plans, but it's long term stuff.
Well, if we've had two fat ladies, how about you and me?
John.
Excuse me. John?
I'm not talking about our studio guests, as they well know. They get mischievous after a few sips of beer, these two, Michael. Well, we're not quite there yet, but just a final conclusion. Ladies, you came for a sophisticated wine tasting. You've had a beer tasting. Colleen, a letdown or a treat?
No, what a treat. You know, and as I said earlier, there's this big gap, and this is the only kind of beer that I would drink, really, frankly. I'm not a beer drinker, but give me a really good, flavorful beer, and that's great. And I'd love to have this in a restaurant on a Sunday or any other day of the week, for that matter, with a plate of charcuterie in front of me.
And Benedicta, 2 years since your last beer. Are you going to wait another two?
John, I would have this again, anytime.
Excellent. Well, we've got a spare bottle in the fridge. That is my gift to you. Michael Olivier, a final thought. Are there any other beers, or is this the only one you've managed to find in South Africa that's worth tasting?
Oh no, John, there are a lot. There are a lot. And you know, there are craft breweries popping up like mushrooms after a rainstorm. I mean, they're just all over the place. And there's young, exciting, vibrant people making beer. And a couple of winemakers too, interestingly enough.
Well, many thanks, as always, to our food and wine guru, Michael Olivier. And, of course, to the young and vibrant people in the Joburg studio, Benedicta Dube, lovely to chat to you again.
Thank you, John.
And to Colleen Morris, great to have you back.
Thank you, indeed.
I'm John Fraser. This has been Divine, or should that be De Beer Intervention?